God tells sinful Adam that he has lost the life of paradise and that his seed will bruise the serpent's head. Genesis 3:8-19. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this? What have you done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between you, your seed, and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow, your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Thanks be to God.
God promises to faithful Abraham that in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 22:15-18. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham in a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Thanks be to God."
The third lesson. The prophet foretells the coming of the Savior. Isaiah 9:2-7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the order of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thanks be to God.
The fourth lesson, the peace that Christ will bring is foreshown. Isaiah 11:1-9. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with his rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a small child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Thanks be to God.
The angel Gabriel salutes the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how could this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, will also conceive a son in her old age. And now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, your maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Thanks be to God.
The sixth lesson, St. Luke tells the birth of Jesus. From Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thanks be to God.
The shepherds go to the manger, Luke 2, 8 through 16. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Thanks be to God.
The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Thanks be to God.
St. John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the Word was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
Well, if you are from a Christian family, it has probably happened to you, if you have ever had children yourself. The small child is in their bedroom, and you have perhaps a nightlight, or you have the light on in the closet, just enough light where the child is not totally in the dark, but they are just enough in the dark that they are still a little afraid. and you hear those feet coming down the hallway, opening the door. Mommy, I'm scared. And so you tell the child to come into bed with you for a few minutes, and then they can go back to bed. You notice I've had some experience with this. They come into bed, and you say, well, come here for a few minutes, and then you can go back to your bed. So in 5 minutes, you say, okay, now it's time to go back to bed. And rather than just get up and go in their room, they look at you instead and say, I'm still scared. And you say to them, well, listen, God is always with you. And God is with you even when you're in your bedroom by yourself. And the little child, speaking beyond their years, says to you, well, tonight I need a God that has flesh on them. I need a God who is tangible. Well, the truth is, we all need a God who is tangible, don't we? It may be that you were sitting in an ICU waiting room with a child or a spouse, and suddenly your best friend appears, and you're very honest. You are scared out of your wits because you are feeling totally out of control. Or you're sitting there because a spouse is in there, and you're sitting there feeling totally out of control. And suddenly around the corner of the waiting room comes your best friend, or comes your pastor, or comes your sister or your brother, and they have become, in that moment, God with flesh on them for you. That is what this season is all about. That is what this Sunday is a reminder to us, that God became like us so that we could become like Him, as one of the early church fathers, one of the patriarchs of the church, has said. Then in the book of Philippians, we find that God emptied Himself for us in the person of Christ Jesus. So you and I all come to this place with the reminder that what God did that we celebrate at Christmas is that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Yesterday I arrived at the church, and I had facetiously said in an email to Keith that I would be reading from the Koine Greek. So of course, what did I have sitting on my desk? This, typed in Koine Greek. Okay. But I will tell you something that I did not tell you yesterday. If you were to look at the Greek text literally, what the Greek text actually says is that God pitched His tent among us. Not God came to dwell with us. God did more than that. God set up housekeeping. God pitched His tent among us. So at this beautiful season, as we have heard through Holy Scripture and through hymns, at this beautiful season, we are reminded that we are all here because of the incarnation, because of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. But we are reminded of more than that. We are reminded that because we have accepted this great love of God in Jesus Christ, that we too now are the incarnation of God, so that we go to others, be it a shopkeeper, be it a school teacher, be it a school child, be it our bank teller, be it the person that checks us out at the grocery store, we go to them as a representative of this incarnate God that you and I know as Jesus the Christ. So on the one hand, we accept the gift of God made flesh. But on the other hand, we give the gift of God made flesh. And that, until he comes again, makes us know that God is real. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.